Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we'll meet the Eau Claire police officer recognized earlier this month as the Internet Crimes Against Children Investigator of the Year by the state. That's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Earlier this week, Kat Morgan and I recorded a interview for the Fierce Freedom podcast. Fierce Freedom, the anti-human trafficking education organization in Eau Claire, and I've been working with Kat for a couple of years. She's privileged me with a chance to co-host the Fierce Freedom podcast with her. And our guest this week for a podcast coming out on Tuesday was Chaz Walton, recognized earlier this month as Wisconsin's Internet Crimes Against Children Investigator of the Year. The prestigious honor, very well deserved, according to his co-workers at the Eau Claire PD. Investigator Walton, they say, is incredibly dedicated and thorough as he works his way through often very difficult cases in an effort to protect the victims of these crimes and ensure the people who prey on children are arrested and prosecuted. He didn't always work in this capacity, though. In his 25 years with the Eau Claire Police Department, he held assignments as a school resource officer for Eau Claire Memorial High School from 2006 to 2010, and later as the school resource officer at Eau Claire North from 2016 to 2020. It was in 2021, as you'll hear, that he became a sensitive crimes detective, primarily working on internet crimes against children, known as ICAC. He was recently recognized, as we told you, at the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Conference as the ICAC Investigator of the Year. We began our conversation with him earlier this week by asking how Chaz Walton got into this line of work.
Well, it's actually kind of interesting. I actually fell into this role. Back in 2020, I was the school resource officer at North. I got hurt in a snowmobile crash and was on light duty. At that time, when I was on light duty, one of my sergeants asked me if I could investigate a cyber tip. So I had to educate myself on how to conduct these investigations and what the cyber tip actually is. During that time in 2020, obviously we all remember COVID, the shutdown and everything. I truly realized the importance of doing this type of work and wanted to continue doing this type of work. I've always believed that protecting our youth is our number one, law enforcement's number one priority, which is why I wanted to be a school resource officer, not once, but as you mentioned, twice in my career. This path allowed me, starting to investigate ICAC crimes and cyber tips, allowed me to be more proactive, to proactively protect our youth in a digital age, in an emerging digital age, and also to hold people accountable, hold those accountable that want to exploit children online. Because of that, the one aspect of these investigations I learned is that Wisconsin has a mandatory minimum law, or being in possession of child pornography carries a mandatory minimum prison sentence of 3 years in prison mm-hmm. per image. So,
wow. This is huge. Yeah. I mean, we've discussed this, that pornography is really a precursor and fuel for something like trafficking and digital exploitation. And
absolutely,
the reality is that it's just so easy to send images, these images. And, youth, even when we go into a school, and I'm sure as you saw as a school resource officer, how common that is of youth sharing with each other. And so what can happen is things like sextortion, where money is being held over and blackmailed for a sexual image, or even revenge porn. It's like, I'm going to post these without your consent.
100%.
Out of anger, if there's a breakup or things like that. So
100%.
Yeah. So even youth are doing this to each other, but even adults are, as you said, preying on children too. Mm-hmm.
Chaz, your story kind of sounds like a movie to me. A guy who works in a couple of different high schools accidentally becomes an investigator of these crimes against kids. And lo and behold, you get the state recognition earlier this month, earlier in May, for the Internet Crimes Against Children Investigator of the Year. I mean, not just an area thing, the whole state. So how does that feel? How do you kind of track for us the journey there from starting to getting this award?
Humbling. very, very humbling because there's investigators across the state. I mean, Wisconsin has over 330-ish ICAC affiliates that are under the Wisconsin Department of Justice ICAC Task Force. So, and all law enforcement are, you know, ICAC investigators are doing fantastic work. So to be recognized in that manner is, as Investigator of the Year is super humbling.
And I just asked, how did it happen? Like somebody that you work with nominated you, and what was it about your work that you've understood that they were so impressed by that helped garner you the award?
Actually, my supervisor, Sergeant Major, the Department of Justice sends out nomination requests. My supervisor, Sergeant Major, nominated me, and then it goes to the State Department of Justice. And then there's, my understanding is there's a group of individuals not affiliated or necessarily affiliated with ICAC, but then they make the selections based on the nominations.
That's great. So yeah, would you mind painting a little bit of a picture of some of the trends that you're seeing and maybe even how that's affected less statewide or locally?
The biggest trend that I guess I see it, based on the conferences I've attended, the trainings I've attended, is sextortion. Nationally, sextortion is a big issue. And those sextortion cases tend to lead to suicides. And that's where when I receive a cyber tip, it's called an escalated cyber tip of possible sextortion, that's something we need to jump on right now to identify that youth, identify that child, and get them the appropriate resources, whether it's through parents or school or whatnot, to prevent and help with that mental health aspect so it doesn't lead down the road of a potential suicide.
Why do you think that this is so common? Because I think that maybe in your own experience or your own words, because I've just seen so many articles, including recent legislation, the Take It Down Act, which is helping to hold these abusers accountable. But really that they're praying so frequently and so many youth are taking their own lives, including one 15-year-old boy, Braden Bone, who was from Wisconsin just, I think, a month and a half ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough question because obviously I'm not a mental health expert, but just in those conversations, trainings, presentations I've listened to on or with about sextortion and youth that have completed a suicide, I think the biggest thing is feeling like they don't have anybody to come talk to. They fall into that rabbit hole, go down that rabbit hole, and they don't know what to do. They're youth, they're children. And at the end of the day, us as adults have more life experience, more coping skills, I guess, so to speak, to navigate a bad decision, whereas youth go down that rabbit hole and it's the snowball effect. You know, one decision, it compounds on each other and compounds and gets bigger and bigger and bigger until, again, I'm speculating, but the youth feels like they have no way out. I mean, I have a daughter that's a tween and I've, you know, listened to her and talked a lot with her. My wife and I have talked a lot with her and trying to get her to develop coping skills on how to navigate socially amongst things because their peers are so, so important to them.
And also, I mean, I think it's, you know, we've talked about it on this podcast before in terms of the age that kids, boys and girls, exposed to pornography and that influence, you know, however it might be in terms of we can try to coach and encourage parents towards limiting things as much as possible, but let's face it, no home is perfect and many are far from it. And it really is striking. I imagine, Chaz, as long as you've been with the department 25 years in terms of, you know, maybe at the beginning of your time with the department, it would be like, oh, certain parts of town. And now with the internet and social media being the way it is, well, it's like the times they are a changing, right?
Times are changing. When I started, there were no cell phones. The internet, the old dial-up internet, and that's what it was when I started back in 1999. Now we, I guess, as law enforcement also have to evolve with the times, and we have evolved with the times, with trying to leverage technology to our advantage.
Yeah. And I think that this is where youth are going for a lot of their social activity, and it's really, again, we've talked about this, but it's kind of like the Wild West. And I think that third party websites have kind of not been held accountable in many ways. Many of them, as you said at the beginning, it's basically been about 25 years since any meaningful legislation had been passed protecting youth. I would say the new take it down law that we kind of made mention of is a really huge step in the right direction, because I think that it's also, it sounds like it's protecting adults as well as youth, and then it's working to hold those third party sites accountable. If there is sextortion reported or revenge porn, I believe they have to report that within a 48-hour window.
Correct. I believe that's the case.
Yeah.
Since it just enacted yesterday, yeah. I haven't educated myself on the ins and outs of that.
But do you see that as kind of a positive step forward?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And in a lot of cases, I've seen, or probably our department has seen, again, speculation here, but I think where we run into problems, if you will, quote unquote, I'm using that term problems very loosely, as individuals, as adults, that there's no accountability or there's no accountability for the individual that's, I guess, sextorting that adult individual in a digital world.
Are there any local cases that you could talk about that you've worked on in recent or past times in this area?
As far as adults or children?
Well, whatever you can talk about.
Well, I have several active cases right now that I can't comment on, but one case that I'm particularly proud of, I guess, if you will, is an individual. It started as a cyber tip, and that's when an electronic service provider detects child sexual assault material, or CSAM, so you'll hear me say CSAM, and they report that content and subscriber to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, or NCMEC. This individual, I was able to positively identify him. This individual was engaging in the possession. Obviously, he possessed it, and also distribution of child pornography. He did not have a criminal history. A lot of individuals that I've seen actually don't have criminal histories. And ultimately, this individual was not on anybody's radar for anything. As I continued my investigation with that, I realized that this individual actually worked in the public sector. And ultimately, I was able to get enough probable cause to serve a search warrant, get into his devices, and eventually arrest him. That resulted in secured a conviction, and he was sentenced to prison. So, there was a lot of conversation about, the outcome, my desired outcome of this investigation. And because this individual worked in the public sector, had access to kids in through the course of their job, whether it was volunteer or not, doesn't matter. I felt that individual really needed to be held accountable for his actions and his online behavior.
That's good.
Well, thanks for your work on that.
Yeah. You had said something before recording that I thought was really profound about your attitude. I don't want to say it for you because it was a great quote. What would you say are ways that we can actually take action, because this is really prevalent, and this is all over the board. I mean, this is in every county of Wisconsin. This is, as you said, Mark, it's not just bad neighborhoods. It's through our devices. And so what is your approach or attitude towards really combating this?
Well, us as cops, I guess, and law enforcement, we're not going to arrest our way out of this problem. I think that's what you're
right,
talking about.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
I, it's hard to explain, but we can't arrest our way out of a problem that's really starting at home, and giving our children free reign of devices. I guess the analogy I use is, would we give our child the keys to our car without any training or going to driver's ed or anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess the way I think about it is if I'm going to give my daughter a device, I need to train her and educate her, and train is a hard word, I guess, but educate her on what's online. Mm. When I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, it was be aware of your surroundings in parks and things like that. The ice cream truck or the white panel vans or the panel vans or whatever. But that has now moved to online, and it's a lot easier to be sitting in a room like we are behind a computer, and there's a sense of anonymity there. So as such, I think it's imperative for us as parents to educate our children on the appropriate use of the internet, and ultimately educate them. And so when I say, circling back to, we can't arrest our way out of this problem, that means education, prevention on online. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, the internet is a wonderful tool. ChatGPT is and I'm not endorsing ChatGPT, but it's a wonderful tool if used appropriately.
Chaz Walton, 25-year officer with the Eau Claire Police Department, and in more recent years, a sensitive crimes detective recognized earlier in the month of May at the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Conference as the ICAC Investigator of the Year, the Internet Crimes Against Children Investigator of the Year for the entire state. So way to go, Chaz. We're proud of you. Chaz says he was working on 40 different tips last year, and he currently has 18 cases in the queue. So pray for Chaz Walton and the great work and important work he's doing here in the Chippewa Valley. And thanks to Cap Morgan for allowing us to bring you the audio from the Fierce Freedom Podcast. A lot more with Chaz than we were able to bring you in our limited time. We'll be in that podcast, which unveils this Tuesday. Learn more at fiercefreedom.org, fiercefreedom.org. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening to the preceding a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio.